Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Back at you once more. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
No, lots of things happening on, you know, fandom these days. Lots of things to talk about. But, you know, personally, I think I really want to start on something that I'm excited about. Okay. And that is Lewis drinking from his...
Sorry. I literally promised you guys I wasn't going to drink that, and here I am. I'm sorry. My bad.
So, you know, I really want to start it off today with something I'm really looking
forward
to.
You're going to grab it again?
That's you.
It's going for it.
I'm leaving my hands up.
Look, we'll do a disclaimer. During this episode, Lewis is going to be drinking his protein shake. Okay? Protein shake.
Not a euphemism.
Yeah. So, yeah, as I was saying, I'm really looking forward to November. Less than 2 months, we are going to have our newest streaming service. And I think of all the streaming services, I don't know what the plural for that one. But all the streaming services, the one thing I'm looking forward to is Disney Plus. And just recently they've released the, I don't know if it's official, but I don't even know if it's the final one, but a list of shows, TV shows and movies that is going to be coming on Disney Plus on day one. And so, you know, I kind of want to touch upon this, see what you guys are excited for. I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to take a look at it, but definitely there's some surprises and there's some things that personally I think is missing. But, you know, let's start off with some of the things that we're looking forward to.
Personally, I did get a chance to look at the list. It's really encompassing. It looks like it took its, you know, Disney took advantage of its huge library, its huge history, and, you know, pulled out all the stops to make sure everything, most, you know, streaming is like, or what do you call it? They made sure everything's on their streaming site. Personally, I'm most excited for Gargoyles to come back streaming. I have really great fond memories of Goliath and Eliza and the whole cast. You know, it used to be on a Disney block. You know, at the same time around with the Batman animated series, so I think it kind of got overshadowed by how good that show was. But if you haven't seen it, or if you haven't had a chance, or if you're new to the whole Gargoyles thing, highly recommended. Check it out. I haven't seen it in years, but I'm looking forward to binging that for day one.
You know, one of the things that I'm really excited about is the fact that there's a lot of varied shows. You know, one movie I have not seen, I have not been able to get. A movie is The Great Mouse Detective.
Ooh,
yeah. I love The Great Mouse Detective. That was one of the very first things I checked. The other one I checked is if the Goof Troop movie was there, and both of them is there.
Very nice.
You don't remember the Goof Troop?
I remember the Goofy movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's technically
Goof Troop. Yeah. Well, I think they transitioned.
Well, Max certainly like changed.
Yes,
from one, you know, from
one dog to another.
I don't know if they even changed the voice or anything, but the Goofy movie and the second one where he goes to college or something like that, both of those things, really, really excited about. The other thing, and Lewis kind of touched upon, is that the fact that Gargoyles is there, the Disney block, the Disney Afternoon, is the one that, you know, all the amazing, like, I was telling the guys, I was searching, you know, doing Control F on my computer, and I was just like randomly putting, you know, Tailspin. Is it there? Yes! Gummy Bears, yes! You know, DuckTales, they have the new one and the old one, so it's all there. So, H, you ready to jump in?
Yeah, I was just thinking of a random one, mainly, you can do the thing, right?
Yes, I can do the thing.
Does Home Improvement count?
Home Improvement? I don't know. There's Home on the Range.
Oh, yeah, because, okay, while
that was an ABC thing.
No, yeah. Unfortunately not. No, No, Home Improvement is not there not there yet. But you can have Holes, which seems to be
your topic from
last time.
Pretty familiar with the Holes. Speaking of which, did you guys see Shia LaBeouf on Hot Ones today?
No, I it's on my queue. I'm looking forward to that.
It was there.
It's not as good as Stone Cold?
No, he's just a guy now.
Oh, okay.
Transformers has ruined that, man. But there's obviously the Disney block of cartoons, was always a big deal, especially to the three of us here. It feels like I was asking the guys earlier that I keep forgetting that along with just pretty much every Disney movie or, you know, every Disney cartoon and television property that, like, these guys reminded me that they acquired the Fox library as well. So it's interesting to see that there's going to be movies. It's pretty much like I was talking to my other friends before is I might just cancel everything else except for Hulu because it's free.
Yeah, because it's going to be in the bundle, right?
Yeah. Like anything else, like you can find, like the only reason I'm keeping Netflix now is because, it's for stand-up comedy, which is completely, has nothing to do with visuals. Like you can watch comedy in 480p as long as you can listen to it. You can watch it on YouTube and you still have the same audio quality. That doesn't matter because nothing exciting is happening besides, you know, visually. But if we have movies that, especially the whole library of Pixar and Disney movies, which, to be honest, it's a big main chunk of my DVD, was a big main chunk of my DVD collection. And to have those readily available on demand, that's, you know, worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you throw in the Fox library and it's like a no-brainer.
Yeah. You know, part of me feels like the price of admission is worth it just for the Simpsons library.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, Fox or FX or whatever had that Simpsons World app for a while, but it was behind a paywall, so you couldn't really quite see all of it. And personally, I wasn't a big fan of how to navigate through that site. So I'm really looking forward to how Disney Plus pulls off, like, what, 20 seasons of Simpsons now? So yeah, that's crazy plus. To me.
Yeah. Almost 30.
Yeah, wow. It
should be 30, actually, because it's 89. But, so I know you're doing the quick search thing, is do they have FX TV shows? Because those, like, would be...
Such as what?
Such as It's Always Sunny in
Philly. I don't think... I think anything that's...
PG-13 or higher?
PG-13, I don't think they're going to be incorporating it yet.
Yeah, I think what I've heard is that they're keeping those guys on Hulu. Because I did do a quick search, too. Like, even the Hulu Marvel shows, like Runaways and Cloak & Dagger, are not on the Disney Plus, but they're still going to be on Hulu. Which, I mean, we keep forgetting about it, but it's all under the same umbrella
That's
now.
That's true.
So I guess, yeah, the more mature stuff's probably still going to stay there. And, you know.
So you're saying that Sons of Anarchy is not going to be on Disney Plus?
No. Turns out, no.
Are they going to do, like, some kind of weird parody, like Mickey and them, like, as a biker gang? And all
Kids
of a sudden they start turning on him and start killing each other.
We can only hope.
I'm telling you, our ideas are genius. I don't know why no one has hired us yet.
Because nobody listens
to
us.
There's that one little thing.
The other thing that I kind of want to mention is, like we said, everything is there. But the one thing that I was outraged, I was like, nay, foul
almost,
fiends.
Almost canceled his subscription.
I know, I was that close. You know, and like I said, everything in Disney Afternoon was there. Even Bonkers. Yes, Bonkers is on technically he is Disney Afternoon.
He is.
But
he was the crappy version.
Yeah, but he's on the list. The one show that was not there, Rescue Rangers. Like, how, I mean, I might, maybe Gummy Bears I could forgive.
No, even that.
That's
But that's
I'm
on
saying.
There, right?
Yeah, the Gummy Bears are there. On. Every single one, except for Rescue Rangers. That means I'm not going to get my exactly.
Do you remember how the theme song starts?
Sometimes some crimes go slipping through the cracks, but these two gumshoes are keeping up the track. There's no case too big, no case too small. When you need help, just call
Chippendale
Rescue Rangers.
Chippendale,
when there's danger,
oh no, we'll never fail. No, I was actually gonna bring up that topic before you started the whole Disney thing. It literally popped into my head, like, our Disney afternoons of just, you know, hearing the theme song before the show starts, so you know that the show is about to start.
That's your cue to get out of it.
It's an actual reality that can come back again, where I don't have to watch it on, like, YouTube.
Well, the one thing you kind of mentioned, like, the whole 480p and everything. I've seen, you know, like, not legal copies of things, where you know, of old shows, and I saw you know, I saw somebody do like a Darkwing Duck, and it was like really fuzzy.
Oh,
you
know, the tracking was off.
Yeah, so
they got adjusted on the front of the VCR.
So it's going to be interesting. What's going to happen? You know, Disney Plus is supposed to be like premium service.
Yeah,
you have all these old TV shows. What is it going to look like?
Are they playing? Do they have old Mickey Mouse Club episodes? Because that is like the one thing,
like the Black Mickey, and White, no, ones, the or the Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
No, the really the like late 80s, early 90s. Well, the new Mickey Mouse Club is what it was called.
Oh, the new Mickey Mouse Club. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. The new...
Starring Dee Dee Magno, J.C. Chazet, Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera.
No,
Ryan Gosling.
Turns out, no, it's not.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, now I'm not going to get it anymore because that's what I've been... That's what I've been looking for is, you know, really crappy versions of popular songs sung by little kids.
Yep, who turned out to be...
What, is that Kids Bop?
No, I'm trying to remember if you guys
were in
this country yet. Yeah, you were, but just barely.
Nope.
it was a thing on the Disney Channel.
It was a thing.
Yeah, it was a show, but it was like my favorite show. Because it was a variety kids show. It was basically SNL for kids. She's All That. Like All That.
Okay.
But, you know, and then the weird thing is, I just mentioned, most of them turned out to be, like, not most of them, but a good chunk of them.
Yeah.
Not just stars, but, like, superstars.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry for your loss. It's not there. I guess Harold's not going to cancel all of his subscriptions.
Yeah. Sorry, Disney. You just lost his money.
Yeah. Because that was where I learned that the effects from Beetlejuice was literally just when they started de-aging. Is Beetlejuice on there?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Cause like
I unfortunately closed my window.
But like, cause there was like a, you know, the de-aging process where they turn old at the very end.
Yes.
Like they literally just showed the effects guy just having a napkin and then pulling the napkin with a rope and then it turned into wrinkly skin and I was like, ah,
that's amazing.
That ruined it though, cause I was like 9 years old. I was like, you mean they didn't really?
They didn't really get old.
Damn yous.
Okay, well, looks like it's something that we're really looking forward to.
Yeah.
And Lewis and I are going to be buying the subscription. And
you can borrow Dennis's.
You can borrow mine.
I guess my only thing, though, is like, I don't know if it's old news now or if they fixed it, but is it still true that they're not, Disney Plus isn't playing nice with Amazon, so it's not going to be available?
It's on the Fire stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Any streaming device that is owned by Amazon. It's not.
You know what's funny though is even with the Fire Sticks now, literally just 2 months ago they finally got a YouTube app, an official.
Oh
YouTube
app. Yeah, I saw that.
Because everything else I've been, you know, using like a bootleg version.
Yeah,
going on the website and then, you know, it opens up browsers on something else before you go to the YouTube, and it's just not as, and it doesn't have your account settings.
Oh, okay.
Like
yeah.
With the YouTube app now, you know, my Google account is connected to it,
right.
So I can go onto it and I'm seeing my videos. But it's going to be an eventuality, obviously, because they can't miss out on that kind of money. Because the Fire streaming sticks are more popular than any other.
Well, it's millionaire, you know, billionaires
versus
playing millionaires. I mean, if it's like a couple of $1 million, I don't think Disney's going to be going home crying.
Yeah,
you
know, and Jeff Bezos isn't going to be. Yeah, Jeff Bezos isn't going to be crying in his Ferrari.
Oh no, Disney money.
But what if they? Oh Jesus!
Oh God! Who's going to buy who though?
I don't know, but whoever, when those two companies merge, that's the first time we're going to have the ability to create the first Death Star.
That's going to be when that Skynet's going to be like.
Yeah. See, they're going to build a Death Star to fight Skynet. Oh,
wow.
It's so bad.
I like your fanfic, though.
Okay. So, speaking of old movies, such as Terminator and Star Wars, you know, it's been a while. It's been a hot minute since we've done anything new, like old, you know. It used to be our bread and butter. We used to talk about and reminisce and everything. And lately it seems like we've been talking about new stuff. So I want to go back to where we kind of, you know, we kind of started, especially considering we are nearing our 2-year mark.
Yeah.
Wow. Episode 104.
Yeah.
Gonna be 2 years, so it's gonna be pretty exciting. So I forget who it was. We'll credit Lewis this time as the originator of this.
Yay.
But you know, surely. I think we were talking about how there are, you know, we always talk about how sequels usually suck. You know, that's the one thing that a lot of people used to think. You know, that at least that's the mindset everybody has, and in a lot of ways it's correct. You know, like you know, if there are some movies out there, like Toy Story would be a perfect example for it. You know, Toy Story was an amazing, you know, amazing movie to most people. But for the most part, everybody considers Toy Story 2 not as good.
Subpar.
You know, yeah. Subpar compared to everybody else. You know, Cars, to Cars 2, ooh. You know, stuff like that.
I think you're just rattling off bad Pixar sequels. Exactly. Now,
I was going to use Pacific
Incredibles
Rim.
Incredibles 2.
Pacific Rim.
How dare you?
I thought it was. We talked about this in our review. I thought it was just rehashing the first one.
Yeah, but it's still good.
It's still really good, though. I mean,
but,
still.
I mean, it was like Pacific Rim
today.
Job.
Exactly, Pacific Rim would be a great example for it. Men in Black, you know, Men in Black 2. It was three, four. Three was pretty good.
Three was actually pretty good.
Three was pretty good. But, you know, Men in Black 2, James Earl Jones. Tommy Lee Jones was just like footing in, basically. You know, so, you know, we kind of thought about it. How about the opposite? Is there any movies that we can think of where, you know, the first movie, maybe not bad, but the second movie, the sequel, actually became better for a lot of people than the first one. So that's our topic for today. Are there any things where, you know, it's way better than the original? So let me start. I'm gonna start it off. I am a huge Star Trek fan. And I still remember that, you know, I was pretty excited that Star Trek, after all those years, after decades of being off air, they were finally going to do a movie. And I remember seeing it, or I remember looking forward to it. And then all of a sudden, I saw the Star Trek, the motion picture. And it was the most boring thing in the whole wide world. Like, there was one sequence where I think for like 10 minutes, no, I'm exaggerating, but at least for 5 minutes, they were flying into this ship. And it was like just really bad FX during that time. But that was it. They were flying, and there would be shots of McCoy like looking really grim. And all of a sudden, it would be more like weird sounds, and it would be Jim going, "What's going on?" And it was a long sequence where nothing happened. And I remember it was so terrible. It was so boring. That when the second Star Trek movie, I remember I was like, it has to be better than the old one. And it was. That was, of course, Star Trek Wrath of Khan.
Mm.
And for most people, everybody considers it to be the best Star Trek movie, although I will have to say that I don't necessarily agree with that. It's great. It's amazing. And yes, it does fit in what we're talking about. It's Star Trek Wrath of Khan. You know, felt more like the old shows. You know, there was still action, but at the same time, there was really a lot of introspection in it. You know, so for me, that's the first and best example where a really terrible first movie. The second movie should have never been made. Should not have been even considered. But since they were brave enough, or they thought they needed to make the money, it turned out that it was one of the best Star Trek movies, at least at that time.
Very nice. For me, I like that choice. I like that choice. I'm going to go actually backwards, because for this one, I'm going to choose Terminator 2. I think that's a layup when we talked about this topic. That sequel blew out, you know, the first movie as much as... in every way possible, I think. In my case, I saw it in reverse. I saw Terminator 2 first, not knowing that the first one even existed, because, again, cue the sound effect or whatever, but I was living in the Philippines, and
I
was from the Philippines, and the Terminator movie was not anything, you know, popular or pop culture. In 92, I was, you know, when I was here, Terminator 3 was in every theater, it was in every block, it was on every bus. You couldn't turn the TV on without seeing Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart.
I'm sorry.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones is a T-1000. The ads for the T-1000 and just seeing how incredible it was. So, like I mentioned, this one, the beautiful thing about this, unlike Star Trek, unfortunately, where, I don't have very fond memories of the motion picture. But, this one, the first movie wasn't exactly bad, but it was, in essence, a horror movie. The second movie, Terminator 2, kind of basically built or took what the first movie built and basically, made it into this franchise that almost 30 years later, it's still relevant. They're still coming out with Dark Fate coming out this winter, I believe, in a few months. So, it's still relevant. And, everybody is excited to see Linda Hamilton come back with Arnold, even though, the logic of robot aging kind of, makes you scratch your head. But, it's Hollywood. And like I said, people our age grew up in the 90s have fond memories of Terminator 2. So that's my choice.
My choice is kind of a more recent one. I don't know what just happened.
Really?
Yeah, that's the movie. That's the sequel. I coughed twice.
Was that the indie from Thailand?
Yes.
Yes, that was the Raid.
Hey, the Raid 2. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, you're right, though.
Not as good as the first. Sorry. But mine is The Winter Soldier.
Captain America.
Winter Soldier. I've enjoyed the hell out of the original Captain America.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It is a great movie. A beautiful origin story. Probably one of the most perfect villains that they created at the time. Unfortunately, never wanted to continue. He went back into the Matrix. But in terms of everything else, not a great action movie. And the story was kind of like, it was choppy because it had to be choppy. But in terms of Steve Rogers' origin and himself becoming Captain America, doing the whole World War II thing, great and very memorable and obviously a really good movie. And my cousin said it was his favorite comic book movie of all time when we watched it. I was like, it was pretty good. It wasn't better than Iron Man to me, but it was pretty good. It was just as good to Iron Man to me was The Winter Soldier, because that movie is like we've discussed this a million times before, but it's just because of the fact that it's both an espionage movie, a thriller, a comic book hero movie, and then a continuation of the series. So getting all those things, mm-hmm. combined into one movie, and they did it in such a great way, and they did it where nothing ever felt really super forced. Nothing ever felt like, did you need to know the backstory? Not really. But it didn't help. It didn't hurt, I'm sorry. And it helped a lot to, understand the story a little bit deeper. But at the same time, taken as an individual movie, it's literally a guy running around kneeing people and throwing shields at them.
Yeah.
And it's just great all around. And then he luckily gets saved at the end. So.
We need to make a movie like that.
Just me?
Yeah, it's called Ong Bak.
Just on these two. And not to mention too, like the Winter Soldier had they had to introduce like a bunch of new characters too, and it didn't feel forced. I think that was my best part. The best part is like they introduced Sam Wilson's character, they introduced or reintroduced Hydra in a modern thing. And if you think of it, Winter Soldier is a total 180 from Bucky, so you have to introduce him, and it went smoothly. And,
because there's even people who are like, when I watched it the first time, I remember being with one of my buddies who had seen Captain America with us, and he was like, who is that guy? Why are we supposed to be surprised? And I was like, then you'll hear, Cap be like, Bucky. And then they go into the backstory. So it's like, the initial shock of the Winter Soldier reveal is great if you knew the backstory. But at the same time, eventually you'll find out who he is.
Yeah.
One thing that I really liked, and I could be wrong, but I felt that the Winter Soldier was really like an aha moment for Disney, where they realize, okay, wait, we don't need to do a superhero movie. We can do a superhero, but we can do a genre type film. And so when they realize, oh crap, we can do a spy thriller.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And then all of a sudden, that's where you get like Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. You have the heist movie and all those things. And I think that's a great pick there, where it really is something that made the whole Marvel movies even better after that.
Yeah.
For me, the next one I would choose
And Harold and I kind of talked about this before, but, you know, especially considering that we recently talked about The Rock and all those things, I'm going to choose G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Nice pull.
You know, Rise of Cobra.
The Rise of Cobra?
Right.
Sorry. It's long green.
I was thinking, never mind.
Snake Eyes?
Storm Shadow is.
Oh, yeah.
He probably ate rice.
Head's
no, true. But
rice is rice.
Rise of Cobra. I remember when it came out, I was so excited about it. You know, it was like, oh my god, they're making a movie about one of my favorite cartoons. Oh my god, it's Channing Tatum as Duke. I think that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And you see. The Baroness, I was like, oh my
Sienna
god,
Sienna Miller. Oh, yeah. She played a great Baroness.
I know, it was amazing. Like, I was like, crap, this is gonna be great. And then, of course, as you start watching it, you realize Marlon Wayans in there, and then Marlon Wayans and Channing Tatum are in there for some reason, even though they're highly trained soldiers, they have these like bionic suits,
yeah,
that basically destroy the whole thing. It did not make any sense, like, the whole thing just. I mean, if we were able, like, I was at one point I was thinking about it. If you take out all the Joes and made it into a like a Cobra movie, it would have been so much cooler. But because all the bad guys were actually pretty cool,
except for Cobra Commander.
Well, yeah, oh, I know. You're right. But they needed like some sort of origin.
They needed
story.
JGL? No, man.
Yeah, and you put him in a mask.
Yeah, I was like, I have this beautiful face.
But that's what I'm saying. Is that there's so many flaws. But the moment they came in and they did the retaliation, again, it was like complete. I guess 180 is
the... Yeah, 180. I think that's going to be the theme today.
Yeah. And considering that, you know, the one thing that I didn't like about it, about that show, was that because that movie was coming out, they actually canceled a reboot of G.I. Joe that was pretty good.
Oh, the cartoon. Yeah, I remember. We used to watch that.
And because I guess the cartoon... And the movie, pretty much not the same story beats, but the same idea. It's that these Joes are disgraced, and all of a sudden these Joes became the A-team, you know.
With B.A. Baracus and the lead.
You know, so when I watched it, it was great. It was a great movie. Lots of surprises. The fact that you would have, you know, Mr. Die Hard there as...
Yeah,
as the original Joe.
Yeah,
I was like, great pull. You're like, ooh, thank you. That makes perfect sense now. Why we're called G.I. Joe. So at least for me, that you know, action was great. You know, The Rock wasn't overly rockish yet.
He was still
actually trying to play a role.
Yeah,
you know, instead of just being himself.
So he knows his role.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, so overall, I thought that was a great movie. Still a movie that when it comes on TV, which is kind of like my...
It's very rare.
My bar.
Yeah.
But every single time... No, I have a recording of it. That's the only reason why I haven't gotten rid of my cable yet, because I have DVR.
You know what I think? I like what you mentioned. I think, and I'm noticing now why I didn't like the first one either, is because... you're talking about that scene where Duke and whatever Marlon Wayans' character is, they put on the suit and they look just like generic soldiers. What I loved about the G.I. Joe toys, at least, and the original cartoon, is that each of the characters felt like weirdly different. They almost looked like they were, I mean, wrestling characters. It's like, yeah, you had a flamboyant sailor, you had the guy.
Shipwreck.
Yeah, again,
they're all racial caricatures.
Right.
Just like early 80s wrestling.
And I think that's what the second movie did better, is that like each of these guys had a weird shtick, but at least they were different. They weren't like the same guy running in some like mock-up of an Iron Man suit. They felt different. Like, you know, The Rock's character, Roadblock, you know, he was the heavy weapons guy with a bazooka, and then the other guy was the capoeira, you know, agility guy, and then obviously Snake Eyes, and even the other ninja that they introduced, like she turned into Elektra years later. But even the same ninjas, they weren't the same shtick. So it was like, yeah, you're playing with your toys, or, you know, there's the old cartoons, but on a big screen. So yeah, I really
and
did.
At a certain point, Jinx was wearing a yellow.
Yes!
You know, even though she's a ninja, she's wearing yellow.
Her costume was red, though, right?
For the show, unless I completely
missed. No, you're right. For the movie, she was in black and yellow, but yeah.
But in the original cartoon, she was red,
I would
right?
think so, yeah.
Okay,
I'm just... Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was a great obscure reference. I was just like... like the ninja, the Chinese girl, and I was just like, oh, okay, because I, you know, obviously had a lot of those toys, so
yeah, Chinese girls,
yeah, Chinese girls. Oh, still keep a lot of those toys if you don't know. Sorry.
Oh no.
My weakness.
Okay, so for my next choice, I'm gonna go again with another obvious one, but I'm gonna have to choose Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight, the second movie in the Christopher Nolan trilogy. Definitely one of the. I mean, Batman Begins blew us out of the water. It was an amazing movie that impressed everybody. You know, comic book fans, mainstream fans, critics alike. But then, you know, came The Dark Knight, which again, it's kind of odd to remember, but like, I mean, to repeat what every online review said before, but, you know, hearing that Heath Ledger, the guy who was in 10 Things I Hate About You and Knight's Tale and this rom-com, you know, goofy-looking dude was going to be the, you know, the pit, or he was going to be playing the role that Jack Nicholson, for a lot of the mainstream folks, made popular and one of the, you know, most ruthless villains in comic books. You know, a lot of fanboys, like, foo-fooed it, and not to mention, you know, how are they going to improve on Batman Begins? And they did. Christopher Nolan did it in the first 10 minutes of that you know, amazing bank robbery scene. He sets the tone right then and there, and you know that this Joker is definitely, you know, different. He's not the Cesar Romero cackling one. He's not the Jack Nicholson, you know, kind of a weird caricature version of the Joker. This guy was like an actual honest-to-goodness terrorist. And, you know, Batman was, you know, throughout the whole movie, you didn't know, like, he's going to win, but how? And then at the end, you know, you realize he did win. I mean, Batman wins, but at what price? So it was a really good comic book movie, but it was also like a great moral story. So it's kind of like, I guess, the Winter Soldier, how they said basically it's, let's come up with a genre movie and then just put superhero aesthetics on it. So, you know, this was definitely a great character, movie about terrorism and you know, this obviously came out after 9/11, so it definitely kind of tiptoed around some of those issues, but again, they put on superhero aesthetics on it, so, you know, people can consume it easier, but still made you think. So I love The Dark Knight, definitely one of the better sequels. Not that the Batman Begins movie was bad, but it just took what was there, but just made it that much better.
Let me ask you a question. If Heath Ledger didn't die, would we be still having the same conversation?
I don't know. Maybe. Well, same conversation being like he's one of the best bad guys, or
the movie itself. I personally would have to kind of disagree with you.
Okay.
I'm one of the few fanboys. I don't know if there's a lot, you know, that it's a great movie. I agree. Mm-hmm. Joker was a great villain, but unless I'm completely mistaken, this is the one with Harvey Dent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I honestly thought that the whole Harvey Dent plotline, although it became the calling, you know, the calling card for him, like, you know, the whole the Batman, you know, he's not the hero or something like that, mm-hmm, that you need, but
what we deserve.
I really thought that the whole thing was muddled up. Like, I thought that the movie itself is a little confusing just because of the fact that you kind of had to tread along the lines of, oh, Jim Gordon's dead. Oh, no. Oh, wait, Jim Gordon's not dead. He's alive. He's actually helping. And then there were just way too many things that, at least for me, there were so many confusing elements where I agree. You know, the whole thing that you just talked about, the only thing that you talked about was the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was forgettable. I think if Christopher Nolan just focused on the Joker, that would have made the whole movie so much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest criticisms from back there, too, is this, you know, Christian Bale, for all his, you know, grumble voice and all that stuff, he was a bit role, in a Joker movie. Like, everything revolved around him. And, you know, personally, yeah, great movie, like I said, better than, improved on the first. But I feel that there could have been two movies in there. You're right. I think the Harvey Dent subplot could have probably been played out in a third movie instead of shoehorning Tom Hardy as Bane in the next movie. That could have been a great sequel. Because even when I was watching it, when he turned, you know, when we get the reveal that Harvey's half of his face is burned and now he has this motivation that his girlfriend was killed by the Joker, it's like, wow, he'll be a great, you know, villain for the third movie. And then, you know, the movie ends the way it did. It's like, oh, Yeah, that kind of felt rushed. Because the first half, or at least the first two-thirds, felt like it really earned the build-up of, like, this Joker is, yes, he's crazy, yeah, all that stuff. But
I agree with you. The first bank robbery scene, when he does the whole pencil.
Yeah.
The pencil thing. Like, I was so creeped out by that. So I can see why everybody considers it to be better. And interestingly enough, there's going to be one later on where I'm kind of debatable whether or not I would debate whether or not or I would argue whether or not it's actually better than the original.
Okay. You know, I really, this is my true feeling, is the only reason Dennis likes Batman Begins better than The Dark Knight.
Ooh, Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes talking out of the one side of her mouth, which pissed me off the whole time I was watching that movie.
But then afterwards,
Harvey Dent
was talking out of what side of her mouth.
Yeah, exactly. But then, see, that's why it's not as satisfying when Maggie Gyllenhaal dies. Because she's not Katie Holmes. Like, I wanted...
Sorry, you have to say it like that.
What do you want Katie Holmes to die, you know? Can't be the Gyllenhaal. It's got to be the Holmes. And I disagree with both of you. That movie is awesome. I can watch that movie anytime.
That's right, I liked it. He's the one who...
I'm the one who...
I know.
He's the one that doesn't like it. You're even waffling. There's no waffling.
Be syrup.
He used sonar. And he took out a bunch of Asian gangs. I don't know if it gets racist, but you know...
But think about everything that you just talked about. Yes, everything was great. Batman was good. Joker was great. But how much of that movie was the whole Two-Face thing that was superfluous?
But you're allowed to have that.
give me what was the most superfluous thing about Batman Begins?
The whole beginning of that movie?
I would have to say nay, sir.
You need to fall in the cave. Come on, man.
I mean, can we at least all agree number three was terrible? Or
yeah. Tom Hardy looked great.
He looked great until he stood next to Batman. And like, why is he 5 inches shorter than Batman?
You're supposed to be the same height.
I was like, I seen the video games in the comic. You're supposed to be like 3 buildings tall, bro.
3 buildings? Is that your new unit? Yeah. How many stone?
Exactly.
That's like 30 stone, dude.
Yeah. 30 bricks tall, guys. My next one is actually, you know, as long as, it, you know, as Lou is talking about comic books, we should go. Okay, gonna get this out of the way really quickly just because we've done it way too many times. Spider-Man 2, better than any other Spider-Man
movie. Oh, yeah,
agreed. So,
agreed.
Done.
Don't need to talk about
that.
We don't need to rehash that thing. But what movie is also a lot better than the original? X2.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We never talk about the original X-Men.
I'm
so upset at that.
We don't really talk about the original X-Men series, but, you know, as a backstory.
We've tried to forget it?
Yeah. But as a, you know, it was the very first, technically, the first comic book series, ironically, owned by Fox. So, I guess that's going to be in the
Disney Plus. Yeah, that's going to be streaming soon.
And that's PG-13.
And the most perfect casting ever. Like, can you think of any other most perfect casting?
Who, for Kelly who?
No. Are we thinking of the same movie? We're talking about X-Men, right?
Yeah, X-Men.
Professor Xavier?
Oh, Professor Xavier. I was talking about Kelly, who is Lady Deathstrike.
No.
That was pretty on point, too, though.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier.
True.
The moment they announced it, I was like,
that's it.
Perfect.
No, actually.
You don't even have to shave.
No. Actually, he had to trim.
Cast anybody else.
He had to trim his sideburns a little bit because he had the earmuffs. But the original X-Men was... okay.
Yeah, you're right.
It was nothing groundbreaking. No. Well, it was groundbreaking because it was a comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually nice to see comic book characters on a movie screen. But you got the feeling that they wasted a lot of the villains. Like, you have...
Toad.
You have Toad wasted. You have Sabretooth completely wasted.
Yeah, as a 90s kid, I was kind of upset.
That was probably... Yeah, and Tyler Mane is not a big dude. So, like, when he came out, I was just like, Yeah, I was like, you're the same height as Hugh Jackman. Yeah. So...
I do like the fantasy, or was it the rumored casting that was supposed to be Kevin Nash, who was supposed to be...
That would have been awesome.
That would have been great, dude.
Yeah,
but anyway.
He couldn't move. We're like, he could only big boot you.
Power bomb you. Yeah, like, over and over.
This is one movie yet. Yeah, he was great in John Wick 3. Or
it's two lines in John Wick 1.
Oh, it's John Wick 1, yeah. But like, so you got out of X-Men and you were just like, okay, that was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, Magneto... was a strong enough character. Obviously, he had to be the strongest character. But it didn't really show too much except for the one scene where he pointed all the guns back at everybody. And then you get into X2. And the biggest complaint everyone had about X-Men was that you had the Wolverine character, but he's, you know, stymied. Yeah. He's very neutered because he wasn't allowed to do what we expect Wolverine to do.
Berserker Barrage! Yeah.
It's exactly what you're supposed to see with...
Down, down, forward.
Yeah. Well, it's a fireball.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good... I'll be like, all right.
Sorry. But then you have X2, and it's kind of the same, and it's still pretty fun. And then you have the scene in the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Wolverine stab people in the foot and then stab them in the chest and pretty much just take out all of Stryker's goons. And it's like fantastic. And then you have that scene where Magneto pulls out the Mercury from the bodyguard. Like, I can't have those scenes in the original movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. I remember coming out of it like, yay, we're excited because we finally get the Dark Phoenix thing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Which is never, ever going to be done correctly.
I know.
Apparently,
maybe by the third time, dude. I don't know.
Just forget that ever existed. Like, they got it semi-right in the animated series. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the movie, you have the X-Men characters actually playing fun. Especially Nightcrawler. Like, the opening scene with Nightcrawler attacking the Oval Office was... Like, I remember going, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
This can't be the same series. Because it was like, it's...
They actually know how to use the powers.
Yeah. They're actually, you know, it's not Cyclops randomly like, yeah, you know. It's sad that they made Cyclops literally the crappiest character besides, like...
Besides Toad?
Yes. And he's in that, you know, he's in that level with those guys. But the X2, and then, you know, you get the ending, you get... You know, adamantium versus adamantium, and like I said, Kelly Hu gets stabbed in her hooves, and it's just fantastic all around. I every time that movie's on, gotta watch it.
Yeah, absolutely, totally agree. I think everybody got a chance to shine in that one. I'm looking at the cast right now, and yeah, you're at almost because including Cyclops, he totally got nerfed again.
Yeah,
but almost everybody had a chance to shine. Like Iceman had his moment. They introduced Colossus for a quick second, which like really got us all excited.
Yeah, and then they changed Colossus characters for like the 10th time.
Yeah,
there's like seven dudes who've played Colossus.
You can do like a top five list of guys who played Colossus.
Daniel Cudmore, and then the guy who does it now. I'll tell it now.
But solid, great choice. Yeah, I totally forgot about that, but totally under the radar because it's been almost like 20 years now, right?
Since 2002, X2 came out in 2003.
Yeah,
And then unfortunately, 3 years later for Lewis's birthday. We went to watch X3. So thanks for ruining.
Well, thanks for your birthday. Another Lewis birthday that got ruined.
Or did his birthday ruin the movie?
Thanks for nothing, Brett Ratner.
If you have,
we're still mad at that guy.
If you sign up for our Patreon, we'll talk about Lewis's one of Lewis's birthdays and MacGyver. We really do need to.
This bad running joke about the Patreon.
For me, my next one is. I don't know if anybody would agree with this, but I would have to do 22 Jump Street.
Oh, I like that movie. I like both. But
21 yeah. Jump Street was great. I thought it was hilarious. A little awkward considering that he was supposed to be, what, 24 or something like that?
And in high school.
He's in high school, you know. And he's like professing his love for like a 17-year-old.
Don't think about it too much.
You know, just minute detail like that. But it was like, you know, I was a great movie, but I thought the second movie, they were like, okay, this is what worked for number one. Let's go stupider. Let's go crazier. And let's do something like completely different. And I felt that that's what they got from 22 Jump Street. And to the point where I think, like, at the very end of 22 Jump Street, there's those, like, the future movies that they do. Because of that movie, I really, at least a couple of those, I kind of want them to do. You know, I was so sad when
I found it. Cool.
Yeah. Or the Top Gun, the Flying School. You know, that movie I thought was great. I thought the chemistry between Jonah Hill and Justin Timberlake, Channing Tatum. You know, I thought they were able to like go back to Raw and say, you know, let's make you stupider,
yeah,
and let's make you, you know, more moronic and incompetent. There's the movie right there.
More meatheadier,
exactly.
And let's make Ice Cube.
So angrier. For me, yeah,
I almost agree. I think they're pretty much on equal plane. The only part of part two that I did not like, or 22 Jump Street, was the football parts.
Oh, why?
What happened to the football parts?
No, it's just, it's like, it didn't really, it's
oh, he didn't need to do that?
No, it was like,
wait, I thought you said that movies are allowed to have
Super Bowl except for football parts. It has nothing to do with like the rest of the movie.
Respect the game, man.
it's not even a side story. It's like, hey, we play football.
Yeah. I'm the DA for Gotham.
But his girlfriend
Oh no, Jim Gordon died. Oh no, Jim Gordon's alive. Why would you put your daughter, I mean your wife and your son, through that? Dude, just
because.
Exactly.
Because Batman. But my favorite, one of my favorite things about 22 Jump Street is when they're doing the chase at the end, and then Channing Tatum's like, oh, Lamborghini! And then he's like, there's no time! And he's like, oh!
Hey, you're really gonna make me want to watch that again. I hate this podcast. I had plans tomorrow.
Grab the grenades in my pocket. Yeah, that's not a grenade, that's my balls! You're grabbing it!
That whole part felt like it was ad-libbed. I don't know about you, but like, do you know if that was ad-libbed? Because it's just like them, like, you know, in a green screen hanging off of the helicopter, and like, yeah, just shoot it, whatever. Just go.
Something good. What'd you shout? Something cool.
It's exactly. Oh, damn it. You're right. I'm going to have to watch it again.
But part one had the car chase and like, how come nothing keeps blowing up? This is like the one thing just had boom. I was not expecting that.
Oh man. Okay, so you know, I'm going to take a slight detour on our sequels and go into a sequel character. I don't know how do you want to talk about this, but I think this is something Dennis is going to jump in on too. But I want to talk about how much better Wally West's Flash is compared to all the other Flashes before him, including Barry Allen, in the comic books at least. So
okay, I was going to say, wait, what are we talking about?
Yeah, Wally West in, or Walter West, whatever.
Wallace
West in the Flash TV show.
Although in our podcast, his name is Walter.
You know, not...
or Wallium.
Wallium?
Walthamy.
Wallafin.
Wallifer. So Wally West, for the casuals there. So the character Flash, the Flash from DC, has been around since like the 60s, correct? They've had many iterations of this guy, that Jay Garrick back in the World War II era of DC Comics. Barry Allen was introduced in the 60s. And then in the 80s, a young guy named Wally West was introduced to be the Kid Flash. So he's basically, in that era, you know, Kid Psychics was very popular. And then fast forward to a few years.
Robin.
Right, yeah, Robin.
Just like Robin, Wallace West had really bright colors.
Yeah, as opposed to their mentors. Yeah, and then you had like Aqualad and Superboy, and everybody had a kid sidekick. But unlike all the other ones, I mean, with the exception, I guess, of Nightwing. But you know, Wally West grew to his own after the comic book Infinite Crisis, where Barry Allen sacrifices himself to defeat the Anti-Monitor, who was the big bad guy for that comic book. But, you know, that's just how he got there. A great part of his superheroics, or at least for this character, comes from the comic book, where he basically, it's a great story of how has the burden of this huge mantle. You know, the mantle of the Flash is up there. It's one of the most recognizable names in superheroism, you know, up there, Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. And this guy had the burden of having to grow into those boots, you know, more or less. And, you know, some of the best stories to come from that era come from the Wally West Flash. So, you know, one of my favorite comic book characters. It's really unfortunate in the last decade or so, you know, the people in charge of DC Comics that kind of hand-waved it, so that Wally West that we kind of grew up and loved has kind of disappeared, or been, you know, the term retconned or rebooted to the point where, you know, it's almost unrecognizable. So yeah, definitely one of those guys where, yeah, the sequel was much better than the original.
You know, I really am going to jump in on this because, you know, you always hear the whole thing where, you know, I was a fan before he was cool type thing, where even after, you know, you mentioned Infinite Crisis as the turning point, but even after after Infinite Crisis, he was still, even though they had the Flash, I wouldn't really call him as a popular character. He was actually an a-hole.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He at least three times he lost his job. You know, like he was so much slower than the Flash. And it was, what was cool about it for me was that there was a general progression, whether intentional or not. Over the years, they started kind of figuring out, okay, let's make him into something different. But it wasn't until Mark Waid came in, and Mark Waid kind of just realized, okay, with the potential of the Flash, what he could be. And that's when all of a sudden, like the early 90s, late 90s, that's when Wally West became the Flash. And
yeah.
I agree. You know, Barry Allen, you know, was a great Flash and everything. But this was the very first time that, you know, you talk about a sequel to a character. This is the first time where finally there was a superhero that a sidekick that was actually able to take the mantle of what it was supposed to do, and unlike others superheroes where it's like, okay, now I'm going to be the superhero, and now I'm going to be Batman or something like that. This was even after Mark Waid took this, there was still at least 10-20 issues where he had to kind of realize, oh crap, there's a reason why I'm not faster than Barry.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I've been scared to surpass him.
Mental blocks and everything.
And he became so much more, his character became so much better because of it. But you're right. Unfortunately, DC thought that Barry Allen needs to come back.
Dang.
Because everybody else has to come back. And so therefore, Wally West is now some loser that... You know, I think I wrote an article.
He did actually. Yeah, it's on our website.
Yeah.
Only on our website.
On our website. Yes.
Yeah. My next one is, I realize now that I'm pretty much just choosing comic book movies.
It's
not by intention at all. But this is a case where the sequel was worse than the original, but the third one was better than both of them.
Okay.
Which has happened a couple of times.
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, okay.
Like, no one even remembers what happened in Thor 1 and Thor the Dark World.
Thor 1, I thought was a great movie.
Thor 1 is a great movie. But then you had followed by The Dark World.
I don't think I ever watched Dark World like through
more than once.
I've seen it maybe four times. Yeah. And
wow, you're a great man.
I'm sad.
Like,
I
didn't watch it in the movie theaters. And I remember it was one of those Redbox days where halfway through it, I was like, I'm done.
I wasted my dollar.
Yeah, it's a movie. So, you know, it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
But sadly, the best thing anyone remembers about that is the part in Endgame now.
Yeah.
Like that 20-minute clip has erased a whole movie.
A whole 2-hour movie.
And it's sad, but, you know, it's unfortunate. But it's great because they were able to say, okay, things didn't work out so much in the sequel. Let's go a completely different direction.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Taika Waititi.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, let me do what I want. And they're like, sure. And we got what we got. I mean, we've discussed the movies over and like, you know, a million times. We don't need to go over anything. But the fact that he was literally just given free rein. And like, they're like, okay, these guys weren't included in Civil War. So do what you want with these characters. And in the big scheme of things, it doesn't really mean much. Considering Endgame and whatnot. But the entertainment factor, you know, Thor actually being a more than comedic character than he was previously, where he just made quick quips,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a lot better action than in any of the previous movies. Maybe not as much as Thor 1, but I mean, the scenes with the Hulk, the scenes at the battle arena, the finale where, you know, everybody's going crazy and whatnot. It's just, it makes that the best part of those movies. And if they keep on going on this the course that they're going, you know, hopefully, like, Love and War is a lot. Is it Love and War?
Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder is, you know, could be on par if not better, which would be great.
They should just restart it. Just forget the first two happened. And, like, it'll just be the Taika Waititi era.
Trilogy.
Trilogy, exactly.
Which, by the way,
I don't know if I ever told you this. I always thought Taika Waititi was like African.
Like, and then you see the guy.
I was like, whoa.
He looks like one of my cousins.
That's not what I expected. I don't know about you guys, but you kind of talk about Thor and you know, being a new character and everything. Have you guys tried reading any new Marvel comic books?
It's new characters? Or
like, no,
new?
Like after watching the MCU, have you tried reading?
Yeah.
I can't stand Thor. Like, I can't stand, like, I want me my Chris Hemsworth. You know, that's the Thor that I love now.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, why are this depressed?
Yeah, the Thor in the comic books is still the old school, you know, he's like royalty kind of jerkish.
Yeah.
I mean, he lost his arm, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, now he's got like a golden arm that he borrowed from the destroyer, and he's still unworthy, or... Yeah, I don't know where the story
line
is.
He's worthy.
Oh, he's worthy again. Yeah. Oh, okay, but yeah, you're right. I totally get. I get what you're saying with that. He's still the powerhouse of the Avengers. But yeah, you're right. He's not the charismatic one that we see in the movie. Yeah. So it might be a little jarring for movie fans to pick up a comic book and be like, "Oh, exactly. That's not the same guy."
Which is what I've been surprised with, that they haven't actually done that, where they've kind of retconned it to
Make it a little more fun. Because I mean, like Harold was saying, I think the decision to make him funnier is because of the actor. Right? Yeah. Because Chris Hemsworth has natural charisma, and he's, like, naturally funny, unlike,
and
I don't
huge.
Know. The, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. It's such a weird...
And they never let him, like, fly like that, where it's, like, Joss Whedon, who's very, he's a very stick-to-the-script kind of guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, I've always learned from, like, the reading around that he's very strict about his script because he has that vision, you know, he's allowed to because he's the freedom to do that. But he's very stringent on, like, you can't stray too far away from what I need from each of your characters. And then, you know, once he let go of the thing, then, you know, people were allowed to have fun again.
So. Yeah.
My last one, and I think this is where I kind of wanted to get your opinion. I'm surprised, I don't know, maybe it's you're saving it for last, or... maybe that you guys forgotten. I'm not quite sure, but there's one sequel. Like if you ever do one of those lists where you do sequel better than the first, what's the one that comes out?
Godfather 2.
Godfather 2 is one.
Empire.
And Empire.
Oh yeah.
Empire Strikes Back. I want to get your opinion. Empire Strikes Back better than New Hope?
I would actually. You know what? I think no. I don't think so.
I think he's waffling a little bit.
I know. I am pancaking right now. But, I mean, everybody says it's better. I get it. Because it's got the epic, you know, epic-ish. It's weird to watch it again with, you know, eyes that I, not physically borrow from my son. But, you know, borrowing the perspective from my kids because I'm watching it again with them. But, like, yeah, you know, the epic scenes that we thought about growing up, they were there in Empire. But, you know, it's not as groundbreaking as New Hope was. You know, so I get what everybody was saying, that Empire is better than New Hope, but it's not like, you know, my example earlier of how Terminator 2 was better because it built on what was established in the first movie and then made that world so much bigger. This one, you know, it felt like it was you're walking a straight line. It was going that same path that New Hope was going, and it didn't quite explore the universe as much as it could have. I mean, it did discuss obviously the familiarity of Vader and Luke, which was the big. You know, I mean, is the movie the twist? Does that make sense? Like the strength of that movie relies heavily on the fact that we get the big, you know, aha of Darth Vader was his father all along. So I don't know. Yeah, waffles, pancake.
No waffling. It is a way better movie than A New Hope. A New Hope is okay. This is, you know, A New Hope is the shiny toy that gets everybody interested in everything. And Empire is the actual reality of everything, in that you finally get to, you get more in depth on every character, every single character, except for other droids, because no one really cares, because they don't have to have a backstory. But every single character gets a
good not according to the prequels.
Exactly. Excuse that's why we didn't need that. But you have trusting in a character and having him turn on you in Lando. And then having him technically turn back for a second, because, you know. But it's not even the twist to me. It was never about the twist, I'll be honest, because I don't even remember the twist as a kid. Because that movie came out when I was
80.
Zero. But I watched it when I was four. And the twist never, you know, it doesn't click in your head because, obviously 4 years old, you're not going to remember, oh, he's dead. But everything else about that story, him being stuck upside down, him being, you know, getting attacked by a tauntaun, not a tauntaun, but like, you know, cutting everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like small bits and story building up to that one epic, an actual fight. That's the thing that I complained the most about A New Hope, was there was no final fight. There was the blast that took everything out.
There was a trench run.
But did they ever go one-on-one?
No, true.
There was no... this is the video
game. Well, you had Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader. And
yeah, but that's in the middle of the movie.
People forget.
It's not the finale. You know what I mean?
True.
And at the same time, Luke and Vader is not the finale. But you get a guy, his hand getting cut off. This is what happens after they fight. Hand cut off, slide down. Where is he? There he is. Let's look out at the stars. That's the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Depressing as hell.
No, he's there whining about the thing. And then Leia comes in and saves him. And,
yeah.
You know, you're forgetting that there's still all that crap right until... You're right. That's the iconic thing. But I honestly think, you know, I would have to kind of disagree. I think it's the opposite. The Empire was the new toy that everybody was like... You know, this is the one we have. Oh my God, we have the upgraded one. This is the iPhone X. This is the iPhone 11. You know, and so I agree. I love Empire. Empire is still one of my favorite ones, but I think Empire did what every sequel should do, which is improve on the second one. And I think at least so far, everything that we've kind of talked about, it just made a huge jump. Where, you know, and this one is, it built, you're right, it built the characters, it built all those things. So, I agree, it's a better movie, but I just don't see it as, you know, like, it seems, at least for me, it seems like for fanboys alike, it's like a badge of honor to say, oh no, Empire is like, out of the three, Empire is the one.
That's, you know. that's the forever debate is going to be. Oh, Jedi never gets into the thing.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because...
Yeah, poor Jedi.
It's because, you know, Ewoks.
Which, by the way, did I tell you? Jedi was the first Star Wars movie I've ever seen.
That was the first movie.
It makes sense, because we would have been like 6, 7 at the time.
Yeah. So I saw that, and I was like, oh my God, it's the greatest thing in the world. And I saw A New Hope, and then I saw, you know, Empire. See,
the thing is, I mean, we can always debate about Star Wars and everything, but...
If only we had a podcast.
A podcast where we can debate Star Wars. But just really quickly is that, for me, I've seen A New Hope a bunch of times, but I've seen Empire way more times. And I think it's because of the whole, like, the crescendo of starts out great, you know, danger, safety, danger. Like, you know, like, intermittent danger and safety the whole time. And then not knowing at the end, like, dude, is he going to lose? Like, you know, that's a nasty cliffhanger. Like, oh yeah, I just found out that the dude that we've been trying to, you know, that is in charge of all this stuff is actually, you know, related to me. And then the really quickly thing in, like, Jedi, where it's like, oh yeah, there's two of them. Like,
I know.
Such a throwaway.
It was such,
like,
a throwaway
line. Jedi is just a throwaway movie in general, but not like...
It's crazy how that one line, like, became
whatever. Yeah, like, anyway. If you didn't pay attention to that line, it still doesn't make sense. No. And then it's just like, huh? All right, let's go with it. So,
all right. Yeah. Oh, we
still,
are we
done?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I got one.
Well, if we have time.
Yeah, we still have time.
Yeah. Well, I was going
to
say...
We're aiming to be a 2-hour podcast.
Well, I guess one of my last choices, I'm going to go a different route too, is I'm going to go video games. I think, kind of like the, what was it, that example you said earlier, Spider-Man 2. We all agree Street Fighter 2 is obviously better than the first Street Fighter, but I want to talk about...
So, I agree. We'll use that for the Empire thing. Street Fighter 1 and Street Fighter 2, it was not like, oh, it's a natural progression.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Video games can do this?
Completely different things.
To the point where I tried playing, like, I remember playing Street Fighter 2, and I went back to Street Fighter 1, I was like... This is crap.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to get the anniversary edition of Street Fighter, because, like, it has Street Fighter 1 as this big, like, oh, we can play this. Like, I don't want to play it. Why would you want to play that? It's like a pixelated,
you're not,
like,
good at any of them anyways.
Exactly. Oh, I'm just saying.
What if that's the one where he, like,
I know. It's better, because it has Sagitt in it.
Yeah. Or Sagitt is, like,
pre-scarred.
So
cool. But I want to talk about like Mortal Kombat too. How much actually that one's one of those like, well, the sequel was so close to the first timeline wise, but it again, it like not to be a Mortal Kombat nerd because I do love the series. It's got like such a you know, Street Fighter's got the game mechanics and all the all those the bells and whistles down, but I love Mortal Kombat for its story. So I do love how the second game, sorry,
you really cared for Katana,
didn't yeah, you? Made you feel for Cyrex. But you know,
introduced in part two.
Yeah, it was. The ninjas were in this. Oh no, no, never mind. You're right.
Part three.
Oh, never mind.
Where they introduced Bibalities.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I really love the second movie because, like I said,
it is. You keep saying the second movie. It's like about Mortal Kombat Annihilation. That's the worst sequel God ever created.
Speaking of horrible sequels,
horrible sequels.
Yeah. So I like what they did with the second game visually and storyline wise. Like I've been telling, you know, this I guess that's the theme of my part of this is like just taking the story that was introduced in the first one and taking it further, so making it more enjoyable to the point where Mortal Kombat 11 just came out a few months ago, I think earlier this year or late last year, and you know they still reference it and it's still part of a huge mythos that I'm still enjoying. So yeah,
my last one's kind of like it's not so much a sequel, it's not a direct sequel,
a sidequel.
It's I don't know how you can but they're technically part of the same thing.
Reboot.
It's they said it's not a reboot. That's what the crazy thing is. And that thing is Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, dude, I had it on my list. Yeah.
Like the original Mad Max.
Never watched either movie.
Dude. Well, you can skip. Right. Actually, go ahead.
This
please.
Was no. Dennis.
Mad Max. Say you can like, probably skip the first one. But go ahead.
Mad Max, Road Warrior, Mad Max.
Thunderdome.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome with Tina Turner. Great movies with no real... They have the same plot line. It's, we need, like, supplies. And the only way to get those supplies is to race and kill each other. so, you know, you take that over three movies in the 80s, and you have Mel Gibson, and it's great for, you know, no-braining movies. Not to say Fury Road is any smarter. It is not. Because that movie has, like, barely any dialogue. But it has
Tom Hardy has like three lines, dude.
Tom Hardy going, rrr, rrr, rrr. He grunts and he points at stuff. I still don't know why they called it Mad Max when the movie should just be called Furiosa.
Mm-hmm.
Because Charlize Theron is the star of that movie. Actually, besides the guys that are swinging on poles, and then the dude that plays guitar with fire coming out of it, like
this is the movie with like the like desolate wasteland with like. Fancy like or not fancy.
Those are every cars. Mad Max movie.
Yeah, every Mad Max movie.
Cars and the people.
They all have cars. It's the funny thing
punk
is like
rock screaming people.
They're all going for. They're all looking for gas, but they're using like 8-cylinder V8s to like get the gas
to get around.
But they can't use like. I mean, if this is the future, I mean, pretty sure they got like electric cars. But it's literally just like. Let's drive a giant truck and have people just chase us. And then it's like, we don't want to go where we're going. So we're going to turn all the way back around. It's literally, they're just going in a big circle. But that big circle thing
is awesome.
It's so awesome.
It's an amazing circle.
The best thing about the whole movie is it's practical. There's hardly any special effects. Where literally everything you see on the screen is actually being done by people. So there's scenes where like the guys are swinging on giant poles at the end. Of cars while they're moving and then jumping onto cars while they're moving. And it's like, even when you watch movies, you're kind of jaded and you're like, whatever.
Yeah, that's not really Tony Stark.
But when you're looking at it and you're like, Jesus Christ, and it's like,
That guy could have died.
Yeah, there's like parts in that whole movie where it's like, we're going to do these BMX jumps over the moving truck. And it's like, no, don't do that. Why would you do that? And then they show like, just as fun as watching the movie is there's a YouTube clip of just Mad Max stunts and it's, spectacular because when they fail hard.
they fail,
and it's like, you're not supposed to show death on YouTube, but I mean, so I guess he's okay. But
yeah. He walked it off, dude.
So, literally, like, Fury Road is there doesn't need to be storyline, but it's probably one of the best action movies of all time.
Yeah.
Last one, and I know I said last one, but I just want to do a quick thing a yes or no. Bill and Ted's Bogus Adventure, better than the first one?
Oh,
no. Because Station.
But
Station.
What made Station, that movie way better.
No, when Station came together and it looked like that weird mole thingy. And then when he made the crappy Android versions of Bill and Ted.
Okay, so I was just trying to do. I was just doing the Android thing, just so you know.
Yeah.
And I realized I was on a music voice podcast.
And then,
I thought the one thing, and I still, that's why I kind of threw it at you guys because I still honestly don't know if it was better. But the one thing that I still remember is two things. One is the fact that you have. You kind of made the time travel bit a little bit more complicated, whereas let's go time travel back and we'll put a cage, whoever wins can make it so he has a key, and everybody's like, oh no,
means we won. but the best part of that movie is the games against death. Just because you sunk my battleship.
I heard he's coming back. Yeah. I'm so excited.
This is such a sort of loser.
Him jamming his foot in Ted's in Bill's face when they're playing a Twister.
And of course, still my favorite is when Bill and Ted again use the great use of time travel, where they realize, oh crap, we haven't learned how to play this music.
And they come back with kids.
Which now we're gonna have to try to figure out why I'm looking forward to it. Is that what happened?
What happened that time?
Is it a retcon type thing?
They grew some beards. I got one real quick, and I don't know. I can't really judge it with you guys because I know Dennis hasn't seen probably either of them, and I think Lou has. But Aliens Alien. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing for me. Aliens is not a better movie than Alien. They're two different movies. Because Alien is a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Aliens is a James Cameron movie.
Yeah.
So, I think James Cameron needs to be held to a different standard than everybody else, because if he's getting mentioned twice, like Terminator 2, and if there's a sequel to True Lies 2, then...
Dude.
I'm just saying.
Oh.
And then who knows, we might be talking about him again, because Avatar 6, 7, and 8 is coming up.
Yeah.
So
what happened to 2 and 3?
Which, by the way, I know maybe we should just use this for next episode, but you guys hear that somebody kind of did a side comment about that there are talks that they were like, oh yeah, there have been talks about a sequel to or a reboot for Princess Bride.
Yeah.
And everybody's up in arms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
On Facebook, there's a lot of angry faces underneath.
Did you see Carrie Elwes's tweet?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Well, could you just, because we're already,
but it's basically like.
He said something basically like, the world lacks perfect movies. So basically, he said Princess Bride is a perfect movie.
Gotcha.
And I had to like that one. I was like, yes.
I mean, I thought he would go with the inconceivable. Yeah. That would be
out of respect for that guy.
But he said there's a line similar to what he said in the movie. That's why I was trying to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, that was my first cough. I'm improving.
Pretty good.
I guess that's it for us today. Good topic. Good talk, gentlemen. As usual, this is where we try to shill and we beg for forgiveness for. How terrible our show is, because we really want you guys to love us. We want you to share us, so that, as Harold said, share us with other people's fanboy holes.
Yes. Fantasy holes.
Fantasy holes. Fantasy holes. There you go.
Fanboy holes is a different podcast.
Fanboyholes.com is going to be Lewis.
Maybe not, because maybe if you take the words fan and boy holes.
Depends on when you hit the space bar.
Exactly. Depends on where that hyphen is, guys.
You're right. Well, that is it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. As usual, this is our time where we kind of talk about our stuff. And Lewis has been on a roll. I'm really proud of Lewis. He's been throwing out these. At least I think you've been.
Yeah. I've been posting it.
Everything. So our website is actually pretty current. So check out our website, 2fanboys1casual.com, where we have Lewis's of many articles that you can peruse and enjoy.
All right. On Facebook, it's 2fanboys and a filthy casual. Whenever the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Any other fun news articles and pictures, memes, all that good stuff for us to interact with, will be going up there.
And then on Twitter and Instagram, 2Fanboys1Casual.
That's it for us today. I hope you enjoyed your episode. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold. Gremlins 2 is better than Gremlins 1, by the way.
He still hasn't seen Gremlins, haven't you?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Oh, it's on Netflix now. Yeah.